8:05. Good morning, everyone. I don't know. It looks like it's brightening outside. They're saying some rain around. Every day there's rain. I don't know. Anyway, hope you're doing well. It's a Thursday. It's May the 17th. What do you think, Michael Riedel? Everything good in your world?
Yeah, no complaints. I mean, I wish the sun were out, but I have no complaints. I'm looking forward to a nice, quiet weekend of reading. I'm reading a very good book right now.
And?
Len Berman's Spanning the Globe.
No, that's not it. Actually, my first book was called Spanning the World. A book about television and sports. But no, my bestseller is Greatest Moments in Sports, so thanks for mentioning that.
Absolutely. Yes. I reread my book last night, Razzle Dazzle.
You reread your own book?
Sometimes I do.
Are you kidding me?
I do. It's on the shelf near me, and I sometimes pick it up, and I go through it, and I think, that is really good.
And you held it up in front of the mirror and took a selfie. What's wrong with you?
I just threw it, and I think, boy, I really did a good job with that book. Hey, I got it. I do. It's a great book.
Did you just hurt your arm patting yourself on the back?
Hey, but what? I got an email. Yeah. Last night from someone you know, the sports writer, Dan Madden.
Bill Madden.
Bill Madden, sorry.
Yeah.
Bill Madden, Daily News Sports Guy. I've never met Bill Madden in my life. Out of the blue, an email comes saying, hey, I work at the Daily News. Sports writer is now retired down in Florida. Writes a column a week, I guess, for the news. He said, I just finished your book. I just wanted to tell you how great it is.
Your book, Michael?
Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know this guy at all.
Does he know Len wrote a book?
No, he didn't mention Len's book, but he did say hi to Lenny for me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a good
and
guy.
He was Bill's he wishes us luck in our show together.
That's great. No, Bill Madden's a good guy. Maybe we'll get him on the show sometime.
Legendary sports writer, Bill Madden.
He's got a great insight to especially baseball.
He's written some good books.
Yeah, he and Steinbrenner were very close.
He wrote a book on Steinbrenner.
Steinbrenner.
So that's high praise coming from him.
Yeah. By the way, I lied a few minutes ago. I said I would never bring up the Yanni Laurel thing again. I lied because I got some interesting emails. First of all, we were playing Yanni music to make fun of the whole thing. And Joyce wants Michael corrected and said he did not play the pan flute. He played the zamfer, which is the same thing, by the way. I looked it up. There was a guy named Zamfer who played that.
Zamfer played the pan flute.
Yeah, I think so.
Of course, all those Yanni music, all those songs, they do sound like the love theme from the Titanic, don't they, Natalie?
I like Yanni.
It's very relaxing.
I love Yanni. You don't want to drive to it, you'll fall asleep, but I like it when I'm in the spa.
Yeah, well, I think it relaxes people, don't you think?
Yes. Yeah. Play it.
He's playing the zamfer.
The pan flute. That guy sold something like a billion records.
Wow.
Back in the day. Remember he was on TV all the time? 1-800-Yanni.
Wow, this guy. And Joseph sent me an email. This is fascinating. And I sent it to Natalie. Isn't this cute, Natalie? Really funny. It's a picture of the name in script. And it looks like the way you look at it, it either says Yanni or Laurel.
Oh,
I swear to God.
We're putting this on our Twitter page right now.
Go look at our Twitter feed, at Len Michael WR. And I'm going to show this to you, Michael and Joe, later, you know, during a break. You look at it and you say, oh, that says Yanni. And then you look close. No. It says Laurel. It's really weird. So in script, it's the same thing as this audio deal. So thank you.
A story that will not die.
No, I promised I wouldn't do it again. And I lied once again.
Yeah, you can't resist.
Big three stories this morning. Lots and lots of Trump news, which we'll talk about here. Financial disclosures shows he did reimburse his lawyer, Michael Cohen. No big surprise there. Presumably for the Stormy Davis hush money.
Presumably, but we do not know that for a fact.
Don't know it for a fact. This on a day when he called some unauthorized immigrants animals, not people. We'll discuss in a minute. Also in the big three, oh, that New York lawyer. You had the story, Joe. Now they're going to demonstrate in front of his office?
Yeah.
This is unbelievable.
They're expecting protests today.
This guy's in deep doo-doo. This is this guy, Aaron Schlossberg, who had the racist rant at a restaurant, yelling at all the employees at the restaurant who spoke Spanish, claimed he was going to call ICE. From the video, it looks like he has a screw loose.
Totally.
And I don't know how his law practice is going to function. But
it's not.
Good luck with him.
He's finished. He's going to protesters out there today. Clients will be leaving him. Now the guy's finished. He's finished. What an idiotic thing to do. Why do you get so worked up under the collar? Because they're Hispanic-speaking people who work in these restaurants. Let them speak Spanish.
My guess is they're not documented. So my next call is to ICE to have each one of them kicked out of my country. If they have the balls, come here and live off of my money.
Come here and live off of my money. You're all on welfare.
Please.
Anyway, this guy, Aaron Schlossberg, way to go, Aaron. Way to make a name for yourself.
But one of those workers, she certainly snapped into English when she gave it right back to him. She was funny.
Right, she said, oh, yeah, listen closely to the end of this one.
You're running a place in Midtown Manhattan, your staff should be speaking English, not
black. Because of people like you, our nation.
I am called ICE.
Called ICE.
Maybe you shouldn't eat that sandwich today. Take a break from the food.
Maybe you should get hit by the car, you piece of
That's a real
New
Yorker.
That woman. Love that woman.
Natalie, we have to find that woman.
Maybe you should be hit by a car, yeah, you piece of...
Wow. Yeah, is that English clear enough for you, you piece of...
You know, to Aaron's credit, he's working on a commercial. You know, Aaron Schlossberg, racist attorney, call 888-KKKK. That's very good. Very good. Rounding out the big three, awful, awful story that's just a gut punch. You remember that tragedy in Park Slope? Remember the car that killed two young kids? The mom of one of them is Broadway actress Ruthie Ann Miles. She won a Tony a few years ago.
Yeah, for The King of
Remember, she was pregnant? Mm. Well, now she's lost the baby.
Yeah.
It's just a killer.
It was a girl, too, an unborn girl.
Absolute killers.
We really had
hope. 4-year-old and lost the baby.
We really had hope for that. I mean, that was the one sliver of hope when she was run down and Abigail, her 4-year-old daughter, was killed. We said at least the unborn baby is all right, but the unborn baby has died from the injuries that Ruthie Ann Miles suffered.
Mm. Well, on a slightly brighter note, we will have some Mets tickets coming your way about 8:30. We got the Turning Point contest from last night's deluge in more ways than one at Citi Field. So if you know the Turning Point, you call us at 8:30, you win a pair of Mets tickets. Oh, there's one other note. We were talking about Letitia James. You know, she's the, what's her title?
Communist?
No, she's the
public advocate.
Public advocate. That was what de Blasio was, the public advocate. Right. She has thrown her hat in the ring. She's going to run for attorney general. But we listen. You have to listen closely to this. I think she sounds a little bit like Howard Dean. What do you think, Michael and Joe?
So I will fight tooth and nail at every step of the way to defend the rights of every New Yorker, from Buffalo to Hudson Valley to Long Island, New York City, and to every place in between.
Doesn't she sound like that?
Or Winston Churchill, we will fight on the beaches, we will fight on the land, we will never give up.
I think it's important for New York City politicians to understand there are other cities in this state.
She has never been, I guarantee you, Letitia James has never been to Buffalo, New York in her life.
Let's ask her. Hey, Letitia, have you been to Buffalo?
Wow. You know, it's interesting, though. Joe is an expert on New York state politics, and I'm from upstate New York. And the downstate candidates, usually the New Yorkers, they never played well in upstate.
Well, Koch
never played well.
Tend to try and balance. I mean, if you have a governor who's from downstate, now Cuomo's from Westchester, he kind of identifies more downstate than upstate.
Totally, yeah.
So voters tend to have those other statewide candidates, either the comptroller or the attorney general, be an upstater.
Ah, right. But yeah, those downstaters, we all thought, and we could have been wrong, but the viewpoint from upstate New York back when I was growing up was that those New York City politicians, they just want to tax us all upstate to pour more money into that big welfare state called New York City.
Absolutely. That's the feeling upstate. Is that, New York City is draining their resources.
That's right.
Another thing,
and
too,
so I moved to New York City.
New York City is thriving, and there's a lot of issues upstate with, economic development and jobs and things like that.
So how many Trump headlines were there yesterday? Did you count them all?
Well, Drudge was full of them. The Drudge Report. It was just one Trump headline after there were about eight on the Drudge Report last night.
What did you think of this comment about immigration?
We have people coming into the country or trying to come in. We're stopping a lot of them. But we're taking people out of the country. You wouldn't believe how bad these people are. These aren't people. These are animals.
That got a lot of play.
An unfortunate choice of words, but I do think, and he's not painting all immigrants with that kind of a brush, but it is true, Len, you've got that gang problem out there in Long Island. They're not from this country, those people.
They're sending the people out who have criminal records. That's who he's talking about.
That's the animals?
Yeah. The people, that's who they're going after, illegals who have criminal records. That's who he's referring to.
No secret, I mean, there's a big drug problem down in Mexico, and a lot of those drug people are coming here.
Yeah, and you're saying, oh, he's called all illegal immigrants animals.
Did you hear me say that?
Well, no, but you're insinuating.
Yes. Joe's putting words in my mouth.
And
listen to his accent. You're saying,
Len, we know your tricks. Like, hey, did you hear what Trump said last night? Let me play the cut. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to play the cut, and I'm just going to let it hang out there in the air. Of course, that is what you are insinuating.
Wait a second. Let me hear what he said.
We have people coming into the country or trying to come in. We're stopping a lot of them. But we're taking people out of the country. You wouldn't believe how bad these people are. These aren't people. These are animals.
So he called all immigrants animals.
What would you... What would you call that gang out there in Long Island that Peter King has been after for a long time? What would you call those people?
Savages.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, how about this? Now, was this a big surprise that the Trump financial disclosure included the payment to Michael Cohen? Are you shocked by that?
He was reimbursing him for some entertainment expenses.
By the way, this guy, Michael Avenatti, who figured this out? I'm trying to see who posted this. TruePundit.com, in the last 10 weeks, how many times he's been interviewed, Michael Avenatti?
By Anderson Blooper?
How many times?
I would say 200, 250.
147.
To suggest that he was the one that paid the monies and that neither Mr. Trump nor any of his affiliated organizations reimbursed him. And now we find out that that, in fact, was absolutely false.
There you go, the Michael Avenatti show on CNN. Maybe they'll give him his own show.
You know that's what he's gunning for.
I heard MSNBC. Hey, coming up, how excited are we? Boy, Michael, this is great. We're going to head across the pond for the latest palace intrigue on the royal wedding.
Good morning, everybody. I got one of our Cracker Jack tech guys.
Under your desk?
Under my desk.
It's unbelievable.
Lying down by my feet.
You having a good time down there?
Yeah.
Well, don't laugh. My computer's died. Oh, that rebooted it.
My foot, will you, down there, please?
Hey, he just rebooted. Hey, you're my hero.
Hey, say hello to
Thanks, pal.
How you doing?
One Union scale for that.
Is that your first time on the radio?
No.
Come here.
We're going to give you a SAG after card.
Crack technicians.
Actually, I've been on the air and program director. I just did engineering for job security.
George, thank you, George. You rescued my computer. Now I got to log in again. But
thank you, George. A proud member of SAG after. Now that he's 30 seconds.
First word out of his mouth, I want scale for that.
Exactly. All right. The big wedding is coming up on Saturday. Natalie can't contain herself. Len is already napping, but we are going to go to...
That's not true.
Maybe
I do have some interest in this. I'm more than you. I do more than you.
Please. Well,
I think she's cute. I think Meghan Markle comes off as approachable and likable, and so does Harry.
And she comes from a very fine family.
Oh
too,
yes.
Doesn't she?
What do we call them? The Beverly Royal Billies.
Hillbillies. She grew up in a trailer park. It sounds like.
Oh my God.
All right, let's go right to London. And ABC News correspondent Sir Tom Rivers joins us. Good morning, Sir Tom.
Hey, good morning, Michael. Yeah, you kind of hit it on the head, and the Daily Mail kind of has the headline of the day, the Markle debacle.
That's a good one. Yeah.
You like that one.
That's a good one.
But, it has been nobody here wanted this or expected it, but, stories keep presenting themselves from the family. And if the half-brother's writing a letter saying, the sister is shallow, and we got the half-sister saying, I'm working on a book. The title of which is The Diary of Princess Pushy's Sister. It's made for Fleet Street, guys. The red tops, the tabloids are salivating at the prospect of more stories in the pipeline.
Now, Tom, I got to ask you, we know that Buckingham Palace, they can't stand the press. They don't want their private lives revealed. They've been jousting with the press the entire reign. They cannot be happy that they're bringing this hillbilly family that it looks like they're going to cash in on Meghan's marriage to Prince Harry. Are you hearing anything about how the palace feels about the Markles?
They always keep their cards very, very close to the vest. They might be churning inside, but they're not going to say anything public because that's just more fodder that can be thrown out there and used against them. So they don't, tight lips. That's the way to go here.
Stiff upper lip. Your name.
Stiff upper lips, exactly. So they're going to, that's kind of the approach. But no, they're not going to like this. It goes back to, certainly the days of Diana, the paparazzi. It's like water and oil, not mixing, you know?
Hey, Tom, we're on with Tom Rivers, ABC News correspondent in London. About an hour ago, we saw breaking news from the BBC. Breaking news. We didn't think it was breaking news in America. And they said, Markle's dad is not, N-O-T, not coming.
Yeah, that's the break. It's, you know, that story's been hanging up on the fence for the last few days. And finally, Kensington Palace has come forward and said, all right, guys, this is the real deal. Reportedly, Thomas Markle, the 73-year-old father, not in good health, had three stents put in yesterday. And again, I would, as a layman, I don't think you want to get three stents in you and then go hop on a plane the next day and fly for 12 hours. So they've officially said he's a no-show. So scratch him from the lineup. And the question is, who's going to walk Meghan down the aisle on Saturday? High noon here, local time.
Yeah, who is?
What's the betting?
Are they betting on this?
God, you're so good. I went down and just found out the hot favorite, of course, is the mother, Doria Ragland. Second favorite, this one's going to surprise you. You want to hear this one?
Sure.
It is. She walks down solo, which is kind of an unusual thing.
You'll never saw a bride walk down solo.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Hey, Tom, is Prince Harry's real father, that polo player Hewlett, going to be there?
He's the alleged. No, I don't think Mr. Hewitt's going to be there.
No, he's not going to be there. And are they going to play Last Dance at the reception?
You know, we don't know what the music, but it's going to be at Frogmore House, and that, you know, that's spitting distance from the staterooms at Windsor Castle, and it was the home for the Queen Mother for many, many years. And then when she passed away, Prince Andrew needed some digs because he had split up with Fergie, so he's been hanging. That's where he lives.
And Frogmore?
Frogmore House.
But actually hosting, the hostess with the mostest is going to be Prince Charles. He's going to be doing the honors, the evening reception, only for 200 people late Saturday.
And Elton John's going to perform, right?
We've got one source that says that, and that would not surprise anyone. But yeah, he's canceled two gigs. He's definitely going to be there. And if you guys think back, you think to the gut-wrenching time of the funeral of Diana, and of course he did a remake of a song about Marilyn Monroe, and it was
Candle in the Wind.
Candle in the Wind. It was a real tearjerker. So he, you know, he's always been in with the royals, so he'll be there. If he does sing, we don't know what he will sing, but everything from the hymns and the whole everything. They've all been signed off by Harry.
Does he have a song in his repertoire, The Royal Hillbillies? Maybe he can sing
it. I don't know. I didn't get that album.
All right, ABC's Tom Rivers there at Frogmore. Thanks a lot, Tom, for joining us. Guess what time it is? It's time for the Mets Chock Full of Nuts Turning Point of the Game. Be the first person who can correctly identify the turning point from the game yesterday, and you'll win a pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Cubs on June 1st at Citi Field. So give us a call here at 1-800-321-0710. That's 1-800-321-0710. The Turning Point is presented by Chock Full of Nuts, New York's coffee since 1932. To purchase tickets, go to Mets.com/tickets. And now let's go to Sir Joe Bartlett with the 830 News.
Thank you, Michael. Our news brought to you by NYC Pain MD, leaders in non-surgical orthopedic treatment for arthritis pain. Call 1-855-OLD-KNEES. We've got a new tweet from the president.
Oh, this is bigger than Watergate.
This is bigger than Watergate.
Oh, yeah.
Word coming out, Obama FBI spied on the Trump campaign with an embedded informant.
Aha!
In capital letters there. Andrew McCarthy says there's probably no doubt that at least one confidential informant was in the campaign. If so, bigger than Watergate.
Oh, yeah, much bigger. I think it's bigger than the Teapot Dome scandal, if you ask me. So.
It's big, Len.
Oh, huge.
Teapot Dome scandal. That's 1912.
Oh, the president.
Remember it well.
President also tweeting about the one-year anniversary of the Russia meddling investigation. He says, congratulations, America, now into the second year of the greatest witch hunt. A lawyer caught on camera going on a rant at a Midtown cafe. Aaron Schlossberg complaining about the workers at the Fresh Kitchen speaking Spanish. He threatened to call ICE.
You're running a place in Midtown Manhattan. Your staff should be speaking English, not Spanish.
Because of people like you, our nation.
I am calling ICE.
Call ICE.
Maybe you shouldn't eat that sandwich today. Take a break from the food.
Maybe you should get hit by the car, you piece of
I love that
maybe
woman.
Maybe you should get hit
I
by a car.
I love that woman.
So they're going to protest today outside his offices,
they
right?
They are expecting a protest outside his office, absolutely. We have somebody there.
We do?
In case anything happens.
We have a question for you. Robert emailed me and wants to know, is the protest in English or in Spanish? Good question,
I'm sure
Robert.
They'll all be speaking Spanish.
Yeah. Yes, Jose Bartlett.
Let's see here. Let me wrap it up here. I got this last story.
Okay.
The cheating website Ashley Madison is out with a new study on people most likely to have an affair.
Okay.
High school sweethearts who go on to get married.
Really?
That's what they say.
Oh, high school, and they go on to get married, then they have the
affair?
And
then they cheat?
People are high school sweethearts and then get married.
Because they realize it was,
they get bored.
Yeah, exactly. They've been together forever.
That makes sense.
And they feel like, hey, I might have missed out on something. The second leading group of cheaters are those who met their spouse at work.
Interesting.
And by the way,
if you met your spouse at work, you're likely to cheat on her?
Yes.
Okay. Or him, Len. Let's be equal cheaters.
Yeah, I think there's more women cheaters than men on this thing. Anyway, the average age of a Ashley Madison cheater?
42.
37.
33.7.
Wow.
They say that's when people
that
become
young?
Disinterested in their partner.
Really?
Wow.
33.7.
That's interesting.
Kind of sad.
Yeah, it is kind of sad.
That young people cheat?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hmm. All right, when we get back, we want your thoughts on this lawyer, Mr. Schlossberg, who got into it with the Spanish-speaking people at the delicatessen there. Give us a call, 1-800-321-0710. Can you defend him? Is there anything defensible about what this guy did? We want to know your thoughts. 1-800-321-0710. Plus, you want a grand in your hand? That's a lot of pesos. Your next chance at 1,000 pesos is
speak
coming
English.
Up.
This is America.
Press 1 to speak English.
Your next chance at Jose Bartlett over there for all those pesos is coming up at 9:05.
Morning, everyone. At 8:42, you've probably heard this guy by now. His name's Aaron Schlossberg. He's a lawyer in Midtown. He was at a Fresh Kitchen, and he got fresh, and he got upset because all the people there spoke Spanish, and he got on this whole racist rant.
You're running a place in Midtown Manhattan. Your staff should be speaking English, not Spanish.
Because of people like you, our nation.
Honey, I'm calling ICE.
Call ICE. So that they can
speak. Maybe you shouldn't eat that sandwich today. Take a break from the food.
Maybe you should get hit by a car, you piece of
shit. Maybe you should get hit by a car, you piece
love that
of
woman.
That's from the woman who works there. She was the manager, and he
I
was claiming
woman.
He was going to call ICE because all the people there spoke Spanish. It turns out this guy, Aaron Schlossberg, an attorney, speaks Spanish, according to his bio. I don't know what he was bending. And supposedly there may be a demonstration in front of his office. So what do you guys think? 800-321-0710. Can you defend this guy? Give us a call. We want to hear what you think. We'll take your calls in one moment. But first, we've got a winner.
Bob Bernardi from the great neighborhood of Astoria, Len. He was the first caller to correctly identify that the turning point of the Mets game was...
Here's a swing and a high drive by Hernandez. Deep left. Gonna go. It's a home run. Teoscar Hernandez.
Josh was excited. It was after that little mini rain delay, and Zach Wheeler gave up the home run to Hernandez, and that was it. The Mets went on to lose it by a score of 12-1.
Congratulations, Bob Bernardi from Astoria. Hey, your next chance to win is by listening to the next Mets postgame show on WOR for the Mets Chalkful and Nuts Turning Point of the Game.
So that would be Sunday, because the Mets are off tonight.
Right.
So listen to Sunday's game with Arizona and pick up the turning point. All right. Oh, a lot of people want to weigh in here. Let's immediately go to Steve in the city. Hey, Steve, what do you think about this racist lawyer?
Oh, this guy is so crazy. I got to tell you, there's a word in Yiddish for this guy. It's schmuck.
Well, that's kind of a vernacular word. I think they use that in the royal family as well over in England.
No, not the Markles, never. Right. However, this guy... I'm on his LinkedIn, and he's always just he's self-promoting more than Avenatti. If this guy were Avenatti, he would have been on CNN 162 times.
Oh, so you've seen him on LinkedIn bragging about stuff, huh?
Oh, about himself and how great he is and blah, blah, blah. And I think the guy's been practicing maybe 7 years. I see him. I click him off all the time. Blah, 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 blah.
I guess you're not going to be a client, Steve.
No, never. But, I will refer my Hispanic clients to him from now on.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks
for listening, pal.
Let's go to Tony on line 3 from Staten Island. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. I called up to defend that guy.
Whoa.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, I can understand his frustration, and let me give you an example. I called my doctor the other day to order mail-away prescriptions. The person answering the phone was speaking in a heavy Spanish dialect. And anyway, I had to repeat myself over and over and over to get the proper prescriptions ordered. Now, my life is in danger with this if they make a mistake. And I can understand this man's frustration. If you English is not the official language in this country, but I feel like a foreigner in my own country. And then when I complain, I'm a racist. You call up a company. You have a complaint. You get diverted to the Philippines. You get diverted to India.
That's true.
They can't speak English. So now, how do you conduct business?
I hear you, Tony.
Thank you for calling Citibank.
I understand. Hey, let's check in with Chris in Red Bank, New Jersey. Hey, Chris, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good morning. I would invite this guy to go up to Arthur Avenue in the Bronx and start yelling at anybody speaking Italian. And then maybe visit Brighton Beach and start yelling at the Russian-speaking people.
I don't think he'd make it home. No.
And if he's still pissed off about the Spanish people, go up to a few bodegas in Washington Heights and see how it works in that neighborhood.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks,
that'll
Chris.
Work.
Hey, let's go to Juan on line one.
Juan, you're on one. Juan on
Buenos
one.
Buenos dias, Juan.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I was just... it's just ridiculous. The guy's supposed to be a lawyer. He should be more intelligent than that. He's ignorant and obviously very, very insecure. Probably never had a girlfriend. And initials are AS. I wouldn't be surprised if his middle name starts with an S.
There you go.
He's dating that manager at Fresh Kitchen.
Yeah, his middle name is Steven. Hey, thanks, Juan. Appreciate it. How about Richard in Elizabeth, New Jersey? Hey, Rich, what do you say?
Yeah, I had an experience at a Subway sandwich shop where the woman could not understand what I wanted to have. She spoke no English. I got a little frustrated. I said, let me talk to the manager. She called the manager out, who spoke a little English. And I said, can you take my order? She doesn't speak any English. And the manager said, oh, you have to talk Spanish to her. And then she walked away and went in the back.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. These people that work in these places, it's fine if they're bilingual, if they cater to a Spanish clientele, but they need to have some working knowledge of English.
Well, that would be good if you work in America. Thanks. We appreciate it, Rich. Apparently, that woman did speak English, the one he was yelling at.
Oh, yes, clear as a bell.
She told him to get hit by a car. Hey, when we come back, thanks to all the callers. When we come back, a Whitney Houston shocker. And it's Rerun City on television. We have our entertainment report coming up.
Happy Thursday, everybody. It's time for a little entertainment news here on the Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the Morning entertaining show.
Yeah, whole show's entertaining.
Lucy, we have a loosey-goosey feel going on, loosey-goosey vibe this morning.
That's good.
I like it. Hey, I am an enormous Whitney Houston fan.
Well, who isn't?
Oh, yeah, she was just great. I remember when the news came through that she had died of the drug overdose in the Beverly Hilton Hotel, right on the eve of Clive Davis's famous Grammy party.
Yeah.
She was scheduled to appear there, but she was found dead in the bathtub. Well, there's a documentary that was just shown at the Cannes Film Festival. It's going to be released, I guess, around the country July 6th.
Yeah.
And it really delves deeply into the demons and the darkness of Whitney's life, her battle with drug addiction and alcohol, and the big revelation, according to the documentary, is that Whitney Houston was sexually abused by one of her relatives, Dee Dee Warwick. Not to be confused with Dionne Warwick, the great singer, but Dee Dee Warwick, according to this documentary, sexually abused Whitney Houston.
She's a cousin, Dee Dee, and a sister of Dionne Warwick. We have the trailer. It's just out. As we said, the movie will be released called Whitney, July the 6th.
You miss something if you don't see her live.
Times when I would look at the God and I'd go, why is this happening to me?
You know, you mentioned all the demons and the tough times. I hope there's a lot of her music and performances in this, too, because I think that would make it, if you could see her sing, would make it exciting as well.
I'm sure there is. It also gets into what was long rumored to be a lesbian relationship she had with her assistant, Robin Crawford. And I do believe that has been confirmed. by this documentary.
Well, a little bit more from the trailer.
I come from a family of singers.
My mom, she was a little tough on Whitney because she knew what Whitney had.
There were always a lot of secrets. When you don't resolve things and you don't deal with things, they never go away.
Mm. Well, that's a little scary. I think a little overdramatic.
Perhaps a little bit. You know, I know Clive Davis pretty well, and I asked Clive many times if he knew all that was going on with Whitney, and he said he was aware of things, but, you know, you try to stay out of your artists' personal lives. You try to guide their career, do the best you can for them professionally, but you can't get caught up in those personal demons. But he did see her at one point, and she had lost so much weight, and he said when he saw her on television performing, looking so gaunt and thin, that he started crying. And that's when he sent her a note reaching out to her to see if he could help her in some way. And he really thought, before her death at his Grammy party, that she had cleaned herself up. She went up and spent a weekend with him, and she told him she was getting back on track, and he believed her. Anyway, sad documentary about the life of the great Whitney Houston. I'm going to see that one. It's going to be harrowing, but
no, I'd like to see it. Yeah.
I do want to see it. Yeah.
In the world of television, I guess what's old is new, and all these shows. Oh, Roseanne and Will and Grace, and now Magnum PI reboot. And now Murphy Brown. Now were you a Murphy Brown fan back in the day? Candace Bergen.
I watched it. Are they going to bring Candace Bergen? Are they going to exude her to be the star of Murphy Brown?
That's a great question.
And Tom Selleck. I mean, you can't bring Tom Selleck back to be in Magnum PI, can you?
Well, they're bringing these shows back.
He's not going to be in a car. He's going to be in an ambulance.
Yeah. Oh, that premiered in 1980 with Selleck.
It was fun, Magnum PI.
Now they're going to give the role that Magnum, they're going to give it to Jay Hernandez, an American actor of Mexican descent. Hmm. That'll play the Tom Selleck.
My friend Robert Rourke, who's a very good television reporter at the New York Post, he has written an article about this, and he just thinks that there's a bankruptcy of imagination out on the part of NBC or network executives, that they're just recycling old stuff because they can't come up with anything new.
You know what?
They can't compete with Netflix and Hulu and HBO, places that are doing really innovative and groundbreaking work.
The one that should bring back is Seinfeld, but I mean, you know, you're tapping into people's memories.
Yeah,
and Will and Grace has been a success and renewed. Roseanne is a big success.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're going to try with Murphy Brown.
So when they tap into your memory, they'll be bringing back Car 54?
Hopefully spanning the world. So I'd like to bring back.
There you go.
A little reboot of that.
Hey, this is my favorite story of the day. Allison Kloss, a teenager, she couldn't find a date to her prom in Pennsylvania, so she brought a cardboard cutout of Danny DeVito as her date.
Why, Danny? It's hilarious picture. She has a tie draped around the cutout.
There's another one picture of her. She's got a boa draped around him. Actually, she decided on Danny because he's a cheap date. She looked at cardboard cutouts of other celebrities.
They were
a lot more expensive. She found a cardboard cutout of Danny DeVito for $100 on Amazon. So Danny was a cheap date, and that's why he accompanied her to the prom. If you put these up on our website, Natalie, 710WR.com/LennonMichael. They're on our Twitter handle, too. They're really cute pictures.
Yeah, right now, yeah. They're right on our Twitter handle, @LennMichaelWR. Take a look at this prom. She's from Carlisle, Pennsylvania, Allison Kloss, and Danny DeVito. Very, very funny.
I've spent a little bit of time with Danny DeVito over the years and interviewed him.
Good guy?
He's a terrific guy.
Is he, yeah?
Terrific guy. I bet he gets a big kick out of this story. And if I know Danny DeVito, he's going to reach out to this girl and make her day. No question.
Well, that'd be great. Hey, if you're such good friends, get him on the show.
I was thinking about that. I'm going to try to see if we can get him on the show. Maybe we can get the girl on, too. Put them together.
There we go.
We'd make
news here.
Matchmaker.
710WOR.
Hey, when we get back, President Trump pays off the porn star, or so they say. And also, he's calling illegal immigrants a name that I think inappropriate. All of that, plus a Broadway tragedy, sadly. That's coming up when we get back. Happy Thursday, everybody. The weekend is in sight. Len, did you see how Bartlett perked up today?
Yeah, when
as soon
I
as
know.
He found out that there was no more rain for the day, he came in with his golf clothes on.
I'm surprised he didn't have his cleats on. I mean, he walked in the door and I said, no way he's playing golf today.
He's got his bags out in the hallway. But he came in, we laughed at him. We said, there's no way you're going to be able to play. It's going to rain all day. And they said, did you hear that? There's not any more rain today. So what time's the tee off?
Well, I don't know. It's going to be cart path only. It's going to be a little soggy. I don't know if I'll play.
Yeah, but that's part of the game, right? You have to adjust to all the conditions of the weather.
Yeah.
That's how you play, right?
Yeah. Well, this has been rotten weather all week.
Well, you're right. If it doesn't rain the rest of the day, Joe, you're home free. And Joe's been playing great. He shot a 79, 83. You're on a roll, Joe.
I want to keep it up.
Yeah. Now, does your wife get mad at you if you
play poorly?
If you play poorly. Like
Lucas Glover's?
No, she gets mad at me when I play.
Well, that means she's mad at you every every day.
She welcomes the rain.
Yeah, right.
All right. The headlines this morning, if you are just joining us. Well, a lot of Trump stuff out there. Rudy Giuliani, his consigliere, says that the Mueller team has told him that Trump will not be indicted. They are not going to indict a sitting president. So what does that mean? I guess it means if they find something on him, so far no Russian collusion, but if they get something on him, they will write a report, give it to the Congress, and if Len has his way, the Congress will be Democratic then, and they will go after Trump and try to impeach him. That seems to me, Len, to be the end game of the Mueller camp.
Well, not in my book. I want to see what the charges are. Let's wait. You know, I'm open-minded to wait and see what everything is. If he writes a report and says, okay, he fired Comey because of, that to me is not an impeachable offense. So I just want to see exactly what's involved. If you tell me he's deep into the Russian mob with money, and he wanted to build Trump Tower, and now there's a report coming out that what was it, Qatar or Dubai gave Michael Cohen $1 million or something to get to Trump. So I mean, if this stuff is really sorted and there's some real crimes here, yes. But if it's just recycled of what we've heard, you're not going to impeach the guy.
What surprises you about a company or a foreign country giving money to someone who is close to the new president? This is how business is done in
so
American
blatant.
Politics.
I guess it's just so blatant. We haven't seen it before. That's all.
You know what it's called? It's called the Clinton Foundation.
Wait a minute,
that's what it's called.
It
the
before.
Clinton Foundation.
Yeah, she wasn't president.
Secretary of State.
I know. And she
United States Senator.
She took the uranium in a UPS box and gave it to the Russians. What a myth. Stop it.
She did. That's why she's so sick now, because she handled the uranium. also in the Big Three, I had this crazy lawyer. He was at a Fresh Kitchen the other day, went off on the staff because they were speaking Spanish. Somebody videotaped it. It's gone viral. And we've got our reporter, Scott Pringle. He's outside of the guy's office where there are protesters now. Can we go to Scott?
Sure. Scott, what's going on there? Are people showing up?
Well, not quite yet here. There's apparently a humorous response to this, actually. I'm not sure what exactly is going to happen, but apparently a GoFundMe page is raising money to get a band to come outside this lawyer's office and actually play Spanish songs, where, according to the page here, this GoFundMe, it says it's going to stir up the attorney here by playing La Cucaracha and other Spanish songs outside his office. They're responding with hate with music here, so we'll see if something happens. I'm with a bunch of other reporters and photographers. We're waiting for the attorney to walk in or somebody to show up here, but nothing's happened yet.
Well, the attorney's name is Aaron Schlossberg. I went on that page because I heard you mention it during Joe's newscast. It's called Mariachis for Aaron Schlossberg. The goal was 500. They immediately raised 1,000. So in addition to a mariachi band, they're gonna send over a taco truck.
Oh, that's great. This guy's gonna be turned into? He's gonna be turned into a pinata when he tries to go to his office. They're gonna be out there with sticks beating him like a pinata. No sign of him yet, though, Scott. Right?
Well, we'll see if he calls out sick today.
Oh, I think he will. Now, how many media types? Where are you exactly, by the way?
Oh, this is at Madison and 40th here.
Okay, I know the area. So how many
offices, guys? This office is on the corner, and half a block away is the Fresh. What's the store called?
Fresh
now?
Market.
Fresh Kitchen.
Right. So the store is only about a half a block away. I went in there. I tried to talk to the manager. He did tell me that this happened on Tuesday, and that this guy is not a regular. But they didn't want to give me much more.
I wish you could find that lady who he argued with. She's the one who said, "I hope you get hit by a car, you piece of blank."
Yeah, she kind of she definitely didn't hold back.
All right, well, let us know if Aaron swings by, and if you can grab him for a few minutes. Jose Bartlett here wants to
pose we'll put
a few
him on the air. Sure,
I'm
sure he'd be happy to talk to us.
I'll let you know, guys.
All right, thanks, guys. Also in the Big Three, this is a heartbreaker, a real heartbreaker of a story. Len, Ruthie Ann Miles, the Broadway actress who was run over in Park Slope by Dorothy Bruns a couple of months ago. Her daughter, Abigail, was killed, 4 years old, and she had an unborn child, an unborn daughter, who initially survived, but it's just been reported that the unborn daughter has died due to complications of Ruthie Ann Miles' injuries. So that's a real sad, sad story for my friends who really love Ruthie Ann Miles on Broadway and have rallied around her and raised a lot of money. on a Facebook campaign to help her with her medical costs. And can Ruthie Ann and her husband ever recover from this?
I don't see how, just a heartbreaking story. The only glimmer of hope in any of this was that the baby, who was 7 months pregnant at the time of the accident, was due in a couple of months, and we knew the baby was due around now, and now word comes the baby did not survive. But this Dorothy Bruns could be going away for quite a while.
I should hope so.
The driver of that car.
I should hope so. You know, I was telling you when we started the morning, in the neighborhood where I grew up in Geneseo, New York, there was a family that lived across the street from us. And Christmas Eve, they were coming back from a party, and they were in a car accident, and the car was cut in half. The parents, who were in the front seat, survived without a scratch. Their daughters, I think 12 and 13 years old, both were killed. And the mother of those kids, she disappeared. You never saw her again in the neighborhood. She rarely left the house. Sometimes I would see her haunted going to get the mail, but she just dropped out of sight.
Well, I think we all know stories. I know a story of someone who lost a daughter in her teenage years and basically was never the same. Just never. I'm not going to say she cracked up, but just never. Listen, how do you deal with that? I mean, you just can't. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, our thoughts and prayers go out to Ruthie Ann Miles and her husband. So back to Trump, your favorite subject.
Oh, yeah. Well,
subject.
Let me tell you. I was just reading a tweet that Willie Geist retweeted. Apparently, your favorite attorney, Michael Avenatti, was on Morning Joe this morning.
No, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
He was?
It's his first TV appearance in 4 minutes. He said on Morning Joe, he's vetting two other women who say they signed NDAs with Michael Cohen over affairs with Trump, both for even larger amounts than $130,000.
What's the big deal here? What is Avenatti's end game here? He's actually said he thinks that Stormy Daniels can take down the president. So we did not elect an altar boy. Of course we know that Trump, he brags about being a playboy, all right? He's not pure when it comes to the marital vows.
Yeah. I don't think that takes down a president.
I don't think so either. Didn't take down Bill Clinton when he fooled around with the intern.
I think the most it's some kind of a slap on the wrist for a campaign violation, which is what, a fine?
A fine. Right. That's it. So I don't think this is going anywhere. And I still wonder if Mueller is going to find the Russian collusion. So far, all the indictments that have come down in the year he's been working on this have been indictments against these guys for past business practices, not for Russian collusion, Lynn. So I don't think there's going to be anything there. I think if there were collusion, he would have found it by now. Well,
you don't think there'll be anything? You think it'll be squeaky clean when it comes to Russia?
No, he's going
to
find stuff on Trump. There's no question about it.
What about with Russia?
I don't think it's going to be Russian collusion.
You don't think there'll be a money trail to some kind of Trump tower in Moscow?
I have no doubt that Trump has some shady dealings with Russians and many other people.
Uh-huh.
That's the business he was in. He was a real estate guy. Come on, real estate.
All real estate guys are shady.
I don't want to say that all real estate guys are shady, but Trump, he was bankrupt. He couldn't get loans from banks at one point, so he had to go elsewhere. He had to go to the Bank of Georgia, probably, to get a loan to build a Trump Tower somewhere.
Atlanta?
No, not Atlanta. Bank of Georgia. No.
Tbilisi?
No. Well, we'll see how this thing plays out, but a year, that is a long time. Mueller's got to wrap this up, I think.
Well, you know what today is.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah, it's the 1 year anniversary of the Mueller investigation. I did look it up, by the way.
Yeah.
The gift for a 1 year anniversary?
Yeah. Well,
paper.
Do you think
it does make sense?
I wonder if in Mueller's office today, if they have those party cone heads,
I think so,
on there, and they're, you know, they've got the plain pin the tail on the donkey or whatnot for the anniversary of the Mueller.
You know what the second anniversary gift is that you give?
Wood.
Indictment.
You're hoping.
You know, see, you're wrong.
Okay.
Seriously, if I could just tell you exactly how I feel, and I think I said it a little while ago, I want to see what Mueller comes up with. I don't believe all these people say there's nothing there, stop the investigation. When the investigation's over, we'll see what's there, and then I will make my decision. If he comes up with just a couple of violations here and there, okay, that's the story. If he comes up with something that appears to be really serious, then you look at it. You probably think either way the Democrats will have taken over the House by then.
I think they,
and
I
they will
so.
Vote out an act of impeachment.
I think so. Absolutely, no question about it. They can't
stand
up.
I don't
think
it's going to pass the Senate. I mean,
well, provided the Republicans keep control of the Senate. Listen, I think if the Democrats got control of the Senate, they would do everything they can to get rid of Trump.
I don't think they're going to knee-jerk. You have to see what the evidence is. If there's a smoking gun there, yes. If there's nothing there, I don't think it's going to happen.
I think the Democrats are hell-bent on destroying this presidency.
Well, they don't like him, that's for sure.
Yeah,
but they don't have anyone better.
But by the way,
now, although they're saying that Joe Biden is the only one report I saw in a paper today, Joe Biden is the only one who can beat Trump, according to the Democrats.
Well, he's the only Democrat who can relate to the working class men and women who voted for Donald Trump.
Well, he's also a good guy. So, but he's also an older guy. Yeah, he's older. He's a little older than Trump. Not much.
Yeah, I like Biden. And by the way, I saw him not too long ago on the train going down from New York to Washington, and he looked great.
No, I've met him. I've had my picture taken with him. He's a good guy. Good, so.
All right, when we get back, we're going to talk about that assault on the PGA golfer. Amazing story where his wife went after him because he was playing badly. We've got the 9/11 calls. This is wild stuff, so stick around for that.
As we come up on 9:25, glad you could be with us here for another 35 minutes or so before Mark Simone takes over. And hey, this Lucas Glover's wife, Krista, boy, does she seem like a treat. Now,
what a charmer.
Lucas has won the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
And then he flames out at the players at Sawgrass after the third round. They had another cut, and he gets sent home and apparently gets in a big fight with his wife and mother-in-law. And there's an official police report.
Yep.
And did you read this police report? It's unbelievable. He tells deputies, I don't know if I'll read the whole thing. When he plays, this is what he told deputies. When he plays a bad round of golf, Krista proceeds to start an altercation with him. This is his wife, telling him how he's a loser and a pee. Pee is the same.
Grab him by the pee.
Yeah. How, grow a pair, Luke. No, how he needs to fire everyone, how he better win, or her and the kids would leave him. He would never see the kids again.
Well, there was this altercation at their house, and 911 was called. Now, Krista Glover, she called 911. She was the first person to make the call, and she claimed she was being attacked by her mother-in-law. But
911, what is your emergency?
I've been attacked by my mother-in-law.
There you go. I've been attacked by my mother-in-law. Well, there's a call you get every day. And then she goes on to say...
You said you were attacked by your mother?
Yes. And my mother-in-law...
She's
locked herself into the room, and she's attacked us.
How did she attack you?
Okay, well then Lucas Glover
called himself.
He commandeers the call.
This is the husband, the sane one of the bunch.
This is the husband, the sane one of the bunch. Listen to this.
This is the husband, the sane one of the bunch.
Okay, can you tell me what's going on there?
Yeah, my wife has called you. Mom, and now she's trying to blame it on my mother, which is not the case at all. My mother's the one bleeding, and my wife has gone crazy.
So. Okay, does she need fire rescue to come out there and look at her?
No, I don't think anybody needs to come out here. Thank you, Bob.
Well, but there was a police report. They must have showed up.
They did come out. Yeah. Yes, they did come out. And he also says, Lucas Glover, he says that his wife had been drinking. Ooh, there's a surprise. But she's one scary spouse, this woman.
How long is that marriage going to last? Will it make the back nine? That's my question. So I got a question for you, Natalie, because I found this fascinating. I was reading the Times this morning before we went on the air. It's a story about a little controversy at a clothing store in London where it seems this new look store is charging more money for the bigger sizes for the women.
What?
Because they use more fabric for the same outfit. So they're charging more money. For example, if a size is above size 16, now that's the U.S. equivalent of 12.
Right.
That's a pretty big size, 12. But anyway.
Not really, actually.
No?
Nope.
Is that medium? Okay.
It actually probably would be a medium.
Okay. Medium
so
large.
If it's above that size, they charge more at the store. And I guess they're saying, well, the customer says, I feel like I'm being discriminated against for being plus size when I'm only slightly bigger than average. She said the average size for a British woman is now a size 16, which is 12 in the U.S.
Which is a store I would not be shopping at, because I'm sure the size 0 is not paying less than the size 6.
Oh.
Mm, oh,
that's
point,
see, that, see that, that's why I wanted Natalie. So you're right. So the skinny minis are not getting a bargain, right?
Right. I'm sure they're not getting a discount.
They don't do that in stores here in the States, do they? Do they charge extra?
Well, apparently Old Navy in 2014 was criticized for charging higher prices for plus size clothing for women, but not for men. And Old Navy was saying, well, it was a different product.
it's really a bad way to treat your customers.
Fatty yeah. discrimination. That's not
terrible.
Yeah, well, that's what they're saying. They're calling it a fat tax.
A fat tax.
So anyway, they the New York Times contacted this New Look store in London, and they said they're you can do the English accent. They're reviewing the pricing structure of its plus-size collection in a way which works best for our customers and our business. But that's a fascinating concept.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's really downright rude to the customers who are struggling with weight issues.
Oh, we forgot to mention that. We were talking about golf. We forgot to mention that picture.
Oh, there's a fabulous picture, which we're going to put up on our website, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. Out in Hawaii, you've heard about the volcanoes erupting. Well, it didn't stop these guys from playing golf, and a photographer captured them on the links with this enormous plume of ash behind them. I mean, it looks like the guy, that's some wedge shot he had. Looks like he's in
like
the sand
Armageddon.
Yeah. It looks like he's in the sand trap, and he took a whole lot of sand with him on that shot.
But this Joe, is typical incredible. Golfer, we keep playing.
No matter what, absolutely, right? You play right through the ash and the volcanoes and the lava.
Play through.
As long as the lightning sound doesn't come
on. As long
off,
as you don't get the warning for lightning. Yeah, play through. I played during an earthquake once, but I didn't feel it. Yeah, but I was told later, hey, it was an earthquake.
A very good Thursday morning to everybody at 9:42. Boy, Len, that story coming out of England about a store that is charging more money for plus-size clothes because they say they use more fabric.
Yeah.
So they slap a fatty tax.
A fat tax,
a
right.
A fat tax on the clothes. That's really touched a nerve
well,
with
it's
our
funny.
Listeners.
You just never know what stories. For example, I got a tweet we did at our show Twitter handle, which is at Len Michael WOR. He said he's a larger man. He shops U.S. catalogs, always pays more for anything larger than extra large.
Really?
But I thought Natalie had a great line. She said, well, how come then if someone's a skinny mini, how come they don't get a break, price break, thin a thin rebate as opposed to a fat tax?
I don't think this thing is going to fly. It's discriminating against people who have a little weight
issue. It's not good advertising for a store to be charging more. But Natalie, you said you got a couple of phone calls.
Well, obviously, this has been going on a lot longer than this deal in England. I had a couple of calls here, male and female. One guy said that he's been shopping at Walmart in their shirts, and I actually looked online. It's hard to tell because their prices vary from size and color to color, but probably depending on availability. But that it is not unusual to pay $2 more for shirts that are triple X or double, triple X or double X.
I never knew this.
That's yep. And then I just had a woman who is very tall and said she'd been shopping by catalogs for years, and Eddie Bauer for at least 7 years had been charging $5 more for clothing that was considered a tall size.
Wow.
So this is nothing new.
Live and learn, huh? We do a radio show. You never know what you're going to learn there, Riedel. It's not, your head isn't stuck on Broadway. You learn other stuff on this show.
It's true. It's true. But I have a size 31 waist.
Oh, so I'm sure you do.
I don't have to worry, Len, about dainty. Thank you very much. Hey, the voice of the subway system is going to change, and in a big way. It's always been a male voice, but now it's going to be a female voice. And the voice of the subway, she has a name. Her name is Valina Mitchell. She's a lifelong New Yorker from Corona, Queens. She takes the 7 line all the time. She works for the MTA. They heard her voice, and they said they weren't planning to change the voice, but they heard her voice, and they said, this is the voice. Well, this is the voice of the New York City subway we now want.
She's a 25-year veteran of the MTA. She already had used her voice, like you'd hear her on a platform saying there's a delay or something, and it was her voice, and they heard it, and here's what she sounds like.
Hello, everyone. For your safety, please stand away from the platform edge. Thanks for riding with us.
So they're trying, first of all, twofold.
Hold on,
they're trying to be a little bit nicer. Right. Thanks for writing. They're trying to be more polite.
Right. If only, Len, the voice were that clear when you're on the subway platform. It's usually like, yes.
No, but this is New York. Hey, get away from the door, jerk.
I mean,
really, what? You're going to sound like this?
Hello, everyone. For your safety, please stand away from the platform edge. Thanks for riding with us.
Well, Channel 11.
It's very calming.
Yeah, she is. Channel 11 did an interview with Valina.
I hope it just feels real to them. You know, the whole thing is to make it a pleasant ride for the customer. And if it helps them pay attention a little bit better, saying, oh, I can recognize that. That's a New Yorker. She's here for me. That's what I really want.
You know what? They should have used Natalie. I think, Natalie, you have a great voice for announcements.
Yeah.
Let's hear Natalie. Stand.
No. Come on, can you do it? Come on, Natalie.
Give us Natalie on cue.
The A-train has been delayed for 20 minutes. We're all steamy and angry on the platform. What do you say,
Natalie? Okay, right here. Well, let me give you a cue.
Stand clear of the closing doors.
Ooh, that's a nice
voice.
Nice.
I think it's a nice voice.
How about you try it, Len?
Get away from the doors, jerk.
Okay, hold on. Can I do it again?
Yes, okay, here we go. Hang on. Time out.
Stand clear of the closing doors.
Here's a little
Staten Island. I'm trying to put my Staten Island accent out for you. It's hard. It's been deep now.
You're dying to do this. Okay, Riedel's dying to do this.
Gosh.
All right, here we go. Time out. Here we go.
What? Please mind the gap. That's what they say in the tube. Is it the Queen?
No, they
say
it on Long Island Railroad.
Please mind the gap.
They have it written. Please mind the gap on the Long Island Railroad. Yeah, they have it.
I don't know. I like Valina's voice, and I like her name, too.
Let me see what this is. There's one more bite here.
I already do this as a living for New York City Transit. I speak to the subway platforms every day. So when there's a delay, you've probably heard my voice before.
Yes, it does have a nice soothing voice. So. Yeah, good luck, Valina.
Just wanted to be clear, Valina, okay? When I'm on the platform and I'm trying to figure out if the train is coming, I don't want... I want the train. Due to delays, the train will be arriving in an hour.
There you go. And then, in a lovely voice, say, tough noogies.
Gosh.
Hey, how about these parking meter rates are going to go up?
I don't park, so I don't care.
Really? I mean, everything. Let's open our checkbooks and let them take whatever they want.
Well, what are they going up to?
I don't know. They say a modest amount. So we mentioned this earlier, and Mike tweeted us at our show account and said, is the city still going to make seniors and mothers with baby strollers climb over the snow to pay the meter, climb back to place the receipt on the dash, and climb again to enter the store? It is. Good one, Mike.
Very good.
That's a good one.
I don't know. These parking, they're no concern of mine because I don't own a car.
There are no spots anyway, so don't worry about it.
No, that MetroCard's great, and now you can do it on an app. It really is good when there's a spot if you need an hour or two or somewhere. I think it's a pretty good system. But
All right, when we come back, what's the drunkest city in the country? I bet Len knows from his travels around with the sports teams.
I bet he does. Okay.
You probably know.
A little bit.
We will tell you the bombedest city in the country and why you won't see nuns on Twitter.
Oh, really?
No.
9:54. Mark Simone coming up at the top of the hour. This whole Yanni Laurel thing with the audio. But someone came up with a very funny... they wrote Yanni in script, or if you, it looks like Laurel. You can't tell if it's Laurel or Yanni, the same piece of script. It's that funny. Go check it out, our website, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael.
If you're thinking Yanni, you will see Yanni. If you're thinking Laurel, you will see Laurel.
This is not the audio. This is a piece of script. Someone wrote the name in script. So 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. Now, I've always felt, Riedel, that you guys in newspapers were jealous of the TV guys.
What?
That's why you're always ripping the TV. Now, here you go on the air earlier and say, oh, these networks have no originality, so they're bringing up all these repeats, Roseanne and Will and Grace and now Murphy Brown. Well, Natalie got a phone call a little while ago from, a guy named Chris, Natalie? What did he have to say about Riedel?
Well, he said he was a little upset that he was making fun of this ABC redos of all the TV shows, when he said, what about Broadway? Half the shows are revivals.
Yeah, Reno. Take that, Reno.
All right. Well, he has a point. He has a point. But on the other hand, let me just say that there is nothing wrong with having on Broadway a first-class revival of My Fair Lady, as we have now, a great revival of Carousel, as we have now, and a terrific revival of Once on This Island, as we have now. So I'm all for new shows, new plays, new musicals, but the classics should be revisited from time to time. And I defy you, Len, to make the case that Magnum P.I. is classic TV, okay?
I think it's on the classic TV channel these days. So what do you want to go to? Leave it the Beaver?
Well, that's not. No, Columbo.
What's classic?
Columbo.
Are you done with your rant?
Yes, I'm done with my rant.
Jeez. People really like Roseanne, and they really like Will and Grace, and maybe they'll like Murphy Brown. So there, Broadway face.
What? So, you call me Broadway face?
So
Broadway.
Listen, what's the
sports
Broadway McStreet face or whatever? Hey, what... Now, this comes as no surprise. Drunkest city in the nation.
Well, I think it's a surprise.
10 of the top 20 drunkest cities are in which state?
I bet it's a state where there's not much going on. So I would say North or South Dakota.
Well, it's Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
10 of the top 20 drunk. Now, how do they go around figuring out drunkest city? I mean, that's why I always wonder about these things.
They make them walk a straight line.
Heavy drinking is defined as 8 or more drinks per week for women, 15 or more for men. Ah, I'm not a heavy drinker, so I take it back.
I could be from Green Bay.
So Green Bay, Wisconsin's named America's drunkest city. They must be proud. They used to be Titletown, USA because of the Green Bay Packers. Now they're the country's drunkest city.
What are some of the other drunk cities?
Well, I don't have the entire list, but they say the top four, respectively, Oshkosh, Neenah. These are all towns in Wisconsin. Wausau, La Crosse, Fond du Lac, where they're fond of locking. Sheboygan and Milwaukee were also included in the top 20.
Well, Milwaukee, 20. They make a lot of beer there, well, there so you I go. Can get that. But
guess what is the driest city?
It's got to be in Utah.
You bet. Provo, Utah.
Of
Bingo,
course,
you
that's
win.
Right. Mormons. Right. Mormons. Hey, new directives coming out of the Vatican, Len, to the nuns. The Vatican has issued new guidelines for cloistered nuns, reminding them that they're supposed to live separated from the world and in silence, and therefore they shouldn't be tweeting too much or downloading too much news or porn.
No, they didn't say, they didn't say the porn part.
Come on.
But wait a second. What? But it's interesting the way you phrase that. So they're not banned from tweeting?
They're not banned from tweeting, but they're reminded that they shouldn't be tweeting up a storm. Now, I'd love to know the nuns who can't get rid of their handheld devices and what they're tweeting. They also said that...
what are they tweeting?
I don't know what they're tweeting.
They're tweeting, make the Vatican great again. What are they tweeting?
They're tweeting, the Vatican rag or something like that. It also, the Vatican also reminds the tweeting nuns that social communication must be used, quote, with sobriety and discretion. So I don't know, maybe the nuns are getting into that communal wine and tweeting some things they should not be tweeting.
I want to know what their Twitter handles are. Hey, sister. I mean, what are they? At hey, sister. I don't know.
You're getting to be a habit with me.
Yeah, there you go. Stealing my joke.
Oh, at Sally at SallyFields.com. Because remember,
flying nun.
She was the flying nun. Yeah.
Hey, quickly, you wanted to mention Steve Wynn.
Yes, he's really annoyed with Christie's because Christie's damaged his Picasso painting. Apparently, it has now emerged, according to page six, that a wall paint roller fell on the painting when it was being stored by Christie's and has done damage, and it may not be able to be repaired. He was hoping to get $100 million for Le Marin, the sailor, it's called. But now they don't know if the painting's even going to come up for auction because apparently there's a big old hole in it.
Mm. So he's saying it's not his fault.
No. Well, he did put his elbow through a Picasso painting that he owned, but that was a different painting.
All right. Miss anything today? Check out 710WOR.com/Lennon Michael. Mark Simone's next. Another chance at $1,000 after the news at 10 o'clock. And I'm still confused. To me, this sounds like Laurel playing a pan flute. Other people say this sounds like Yanni. I don't get it.